SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome in Game Time Decisions here on this Wednesday now, May the 15th. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you stopping by as we get ready for a loaded slate across the sports betting landscape here tonight. We've already had plenty of Major League Day baseball, including a couple of games still going on right now. And we'll get you caught up with everything that's happening in the MLB, because we've got a pretty good slate of games coming up next hour and for the rest of the evening, including the Yankees trying to keep it rolling against the Twins, the Mets trying to do what no other team seems to have been able to do, and that is beat Ranger Suarez, who is on a absolute historic tear in his start so far for the Philadelphia Phillies. But will the Phillies be able to score enough in order to help him tonight get the win? So looking forward to that one. And don't look now, but the Texas Rangers, are they ever going to win another game here? Lost again to the Guardians. The champs are on the ropes right now, trying to figure out exactly what to do. And boy, oh boy, what a night it is going to be. Carlos Carrasco, all of 87 years young, will be pitching for the Guardians. If you would think that the Rangers could get off the snide by, that's right, beating Carlos Carrasco here tonight, but nothing is guaranteed with this team. We also have NBA playoffs coming up here tonight. And, well, we've got one NBA playoff game coming up. We also have another, basically a formality. They have to throw the ball out there and they have to pretend like we have any clue that the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to win a game, because they are absolutely not. But Boston at home looking to close out the Cavs here tonight. No Donovan and Mitchell. We know this. It has come down. He has been ruled out, which is why you are seeing the number where it is at right now at 16. The total also hovering around the 205, 205 and a half mark here. It's essentially whether or not you believe the Celtics will rip through this Cavs team early and often and put the game away, or do you think the Cavs can muster up enough three-point shooting like they did at home in last game to keep this thing close enough to make bettors worried and having to sweat out laying the 16 points there? As you can see, this is going to be an interesting one. Yes, it's got blowout written all over it, but you know what they say, the hardest game to win in any playoff series is the closeout game, and the Celtics at home, up 3-1, are trying to do just that. But again, I will remind folks, winning is one thing. Covering is a whole different ball game here, and nobody knows that better, of course, than the game coming up right after that one tonight, Game 5, the all-important Game 5 in Oklahoma City, as the Thunder are getting ready to take on the Dallas Mavericks here. Dallas did everything right in that last game except make free throws and win the game. And because of that, instead of coming into OKC in Game 5 up 3-1, this series is knotted up at 2 apiece. Dallas has thoroughly outplayed Oklahoma City here in the series. And what do they have to show for it? Well, just 2 wins. And now Oklahoma City has the opportunity to go up 3-2 and a possible closeout situation in Dallas in a couple of nights. So this series has always felt like zigzag was in play. One team would win, the other team would win. One team would win. We're kind of heading down that path here, but so far, Dallas and the injuries and the health of Luka Doncic, always a concern, but the role players have stepped up thus far. Who outside of SGA can deliver for OKC here tonight? We will talk much about that coming up this hour here on Game Time Decisions. Let's not forget, we only have one NHL game in the playoffs tonight. It, too, is the possible closeout situation as the number one seed in the West, the Dallas Stars, looking to close it out against the Colorado Avalanche. At home, Dallas, no less. Ottinger has been phenomenal. Colorado has been atrocious in so many different ways in this series, including not being able to win a game at home, which not many people saw coming, given the fact that they were absolutely dominant during the regular season on their own home ice. But their back is against the wall, down 3-1. You got to love urgency and teams playing with their hair on fire. And that is what you're going to get in a couple of these playoff games here tonight, especially with the Colorado Avalanche fighting to get back to Colorado for an all-important game number 6. So that should be a lot of fun, not to mention, of course, the Cavs trying to do the same thing, just extend the series 1 game at a time against Boston. Not sure they're going to be able to get that done, but it is certainly going to be a fun night here watching it all unfold. We also have the start of the WNBA season underway. We've got a couple of games on the slate here tonight. We're going to talk some WNBA here as we move along through the hour here. A lot of people very excited about one Caitlin Clark, and she has put a spotlight squarely on the WNBA, and that is fantastic for the league. I think it's fantastic for the sport, for teams. This is going to be a very fun season, and we're going to see how much interest the mainstream media has in this league and whether or not it's a good thing or eventually a bad thing here. But we got plenty of action here to come, and we've also got what many people believe is a whole lot of edges to be had in betting the WNBA this season. The more popular it is, the more public money comes in. The more public money that comes in, the bigger discrepancy there is from what the line closes at and what the line should be. So this is going to be interesting to monitor as the season progresses. A whole lot of eyes and people who have never bet the sport are going to be betting the sport because of Caitlin Clark. So it should be fun here tonight, and should be fun watching how many more games the Colorado Rockies can actually win here, because they are well on their way to winning their 7th game in a row as they are on top of the Padres 7-0. Top of the 8th inning, they are looking to sweep the Padres here. The Padres are just going through it. They cannot seem to get it done at the plate. And the Rockies are playing some of their best baseball here during this stretch. And you look at who they have beaten too: Texas, the Giants. They're now beating the Padres. They are 7 runs, 10 hits in this game right now on the top of the 8th. Don't sleep on the Rockies all of a sudden. Very undervalued and been very profitable. And you know who else has been extremely profitable over the last month? You're not going to believe this. The Chicago White Sox have once again won a game. Today, they beat the Nats again, 2-0 here. And the White Sox quietly cashing tickets for backers, quietly now, under the table. You don't want to tell too many people that the White Sox are actually winning baseball games. And that is exactly what they are doing at some pretty good prices. Brewers took down the Pirates. That was an awful lot of fun here today, watching the Pirates not be able to hit water if they fell out of a boat. And the Orioles won a game. They beat the Blue Jays 3-2-2. We'll have much more on today's Major League Baseball schedule. Plenty of great games still coming up here tonight. NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs. And oh, yeah. They are now leaking the upcoming NFL schedule. And boy, do we have some news on that front for you. Come back and join us. Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri, and plenty going on here today, especially in Major League Baseball. What is usually a getaway day, Wednesday and Thursdays, you get a lot of afternoon baseball. We've had a couple of games already in the books. We have a couple of games in the latter half of the innings and a whole lot of baseball getting ready to start. And our good friend George Kurtz stepping in here. And Kurtz, before we get to baseball and how we should run to the window and bet the Rockies to win the World Series, because apparently they're never losing again, up 8-0 over the Padres right now for win number 7 in a row. I did want to get to this because I thought it was fantastic. I love how today was the release of the NFL schedule. That's actually not today. It's supposed to be tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern. The NFL will officially release the schedule to everybody so we can all start making plans of where we're going to travel, what games do you want to go to. It's all this big thing, except it is the worst kept secret of anything in sports ever. Why? Because we already know what the schedule is. And more importantly, our good friend Warren Sharp here at the network posted this earlier, and you'll appreciate this, Kurtz, as a Jets fan, because what could possibly go wrong with this? The Jets are now the first team in NFL history to have 6 primetime games in the first 11 weeks of the season. That includes the first Monday night football game, the first Thursday night football game, another Monday night football game against the Bills, Sunday night against the Steelers, Thursday night against the Texans, and of course, week 11 against the Colts, another Sunday night football matchup. First time we've ever seen a team get not one, not two, not three. This is even bonkers because usually this was reserved to the Belichick Brady years. Like every time we turned around, they were on primetime or Dallas. No, it's the New York Jets this year here. Kurtz, you feeling good about 6 primetime games in 11 weeks?
Depends on how you look at it. You would have thought the NFL would have learned their lesson last year, right? The Jets had a lot of primetime games last year as well. Aaron Rodgers gets hurt game one, and we're like, oh, God, we got to watch this in primetime. That's the bad news. The good news is, living in New York, all right, get rid of the Jets on Sunday afternoon. We'll get more doubleheaders, see more other teams other than the Jets here. The NFL is obviously banking on Aaron Rodgers to come back and be fully healthy, which is a big gamble for a 40-plus-year-old coming back from Achilles. We'll see what he can be, but they're gambling he's going to come back, and he's going to be a draw, which is weird because, listen, I have nothing against the Jets. I'm a Cowboys fan, all right? I have really nothing. I don't care about the Jets. So, but they're not a national draw. What are you hoping for here? This, as you said, this is not the Patriots, Steelers, Chiefs, teams that are teams that are draws that everybody wants to go watch. It's the Jets. They get one injury, boy, we're going to eat this again. So curious to how they do that, but they want the Jets to succeed. Also, Warren pointed out that I believe 3 of their first 6 games, they're playing rookie quarterbacks. Actually, it might be 3 of their first 5 games. So they want the Jets to get off to a good start and be a team that we're all talking about in October.
Yeah, and that is what we call the Aaron Rodgers effect. We've heard of the Tom Brady effect, Kurtz. Now, this is the Aaron Rodgers effect. Because don't forget, they had one of the easiest schedules when it came to rest in the NFL last year, where they were fully planning on giving Aaron Rodgers a lot of time, between games. Better of a rest edge than anybody he would have faced, but unfortunately, 4 plays into the season, that didn't work out all that well. There's going to be plenty to unpack here with this. Bunch of London games, Germany overseas games, the Christmas games are already posted here, but I'm so glad the release is at 8 o'clock here tonight. Really great job there, NFL, of keeping that under wraps here. 8-0 Rockies Padres. Did you have the Rockies? And this is what I love about baseball, Kurtz, that if you didn't look at baseball all year and you just started watching this past week, you'd think the Rockies were world beaters. Or even better yet, the White Sox are world beaters. Both teams bad as you may seem in 162-game season, are you?
I mean, It's a long baseball season. Bad teams are going to play well at some point, and you know, good teams are going to play poorly. It happens here. But let's come on, Joe. I didn't know if Colorado would win 7 games in a month, more or less 7 in a row here. Now, I ate it on Friday. I ate it on Saturday. All right, I was on the Rangers against the Rockies. I did not bet it on. I did not bet it on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I did bet the against the Rockies on Monday. I have now learned my lesson. I'm not doing it. Okay, I didn't bet them against the Rockies last night. Didn't bet against them today. Listen, they're on a heater. Bottom line is they're on a heater. I'm surprised. Yep. I mean, I understood Monday's loss by the Padres. You had a big game over the week, a big series over the weekend against the Dodgers, right? The hated Dodgers, big rival. You take 2 out of 3. But now you're about to get swept by the Rock. I mean, come on. No one. No, mm-hmm. I don't care how big a Rockies fan you are. You did not see this coming. But no, I stayed away. Learned my lesson over the weekend here. I'm a good boy. I'm going to just need to see them lose a game or two before I start picking on them again.
That's why it's such an ultimate grind handicapping Major League Baseball over 162-game season, because there are always stretches in the season where teams that are, like you said, are not good. But the markets can't react fast enough, Kurtz. We've seen it with Oakland. We're seeing it with the White Sox. We're seeing it now with the Rockies. And, oh, yeah, we saw it with Baltimore Orioles a couple of years ago. You just can't adjust to what the market gives you fast enough. So that means huge money-making opportunities. Like, the Cubs are eventually going to score a run, right, at some point against Atlanta? Or no, it's not going to happen. They're getting shut out again here tonight.
Oh, I'm sure they wouldn't bet a shutout here, but I'm on the Braves. I mean, you said they're not scoring here, which is kind of weird. They survived without their injuries, right? When Bellinger and Suzuki were out, they still won their games. But now those guys are back here. I know they've got some other injuries as well, but they're not playing well. They're not hitting. So, yes, I'm going to pick against a team that's having trouble scoring here. So I'm going to be on the Braves here. You want to take him on the run line? I'm fine with that, too. Charlie Morton has been a serviceable pitcher. Give me Morton and the Braves.
It's hard to look anyway but at Atlanta at that price. The Yankees and Stroman have an interesting one in Minnesota, and so do the Mets have an interesting matchup. We'll talk about both of those when Game Time Decisions returns here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. George Kurtz hanging out with us here as we get ready for a great night of baseball here. Kurtz, we've already had a couple of games finish up. Orioles back in the win column over to Blue Jays. Marlins blank Detroit. But let's talk about the New York Mets here tonight against the best pitcher in Major League Baseball. And I don't think I'm being, you know, over the top with that. Ranger Suarez has been absolutely unreal so far this year, but Philadelphia is not hitting at the moment, Kurt. So what happens here? Do the Mets have a shot tonight against Philly?
Well, the problem is the Mets aren't hitting at all against anybody. Mm. So, and they're throwing what Lucchesi, who was called up to make this start today. So all signs point to the Phillies. Yeah, Harper is supposed to be back in the lineup tonight. He missed the game yesterday with, a migraine. Schwarber should be back as well. I think he played yesterday anyway. So they're about as healthy as they're going to get. No Trey Turner, of course. He's on the IL. But I'm on the Phillies tonight. Going to start in about 15 minutes here. It is a miserable night here on the East Coast. You know, the Northeast, it is wet, rainy. I wouldn't say cold, but cool. Probably around 55 here, so keep that in mind here. But the Mets aren't hitting, and they're starting to catch a lot of crap here, right? The New York media's all over them. They can't hit, blah, blah, blah. What are we going to do? Da, 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 da. And all this other stuff. I mean, what's the Lindor batting? 200, 204? Not really talking about that as much as you might think. They are probably going to release Joey Wendell. They're calling up Vientos to try and get something out of the bottom of their lineup here, because Brett Beatty's also in a major slump. So all signs point to the Phillies here. I'll take it. Give me the Phils.
Also seeing an awful lot of money coming in on Stroman and the Yankees here, which is head-scratching because there aren't a whole lot of matchups where I think Stroman has the advantage. But I guess when you strike out as much as the Twins, he could probably throw everything in the dirt, Kurtz, and they probably still swing. So are you shocked this is not a bigger number with Lopez on the mound for the Twins?
No, because once again, we all know the Yankees record versus the Twins, right? The team they own. You know, for whatever that's worth here. That being said, Stroman's been okay this year. And his last three or four starts have not been good. They've not been terrible, but they've not been good. You can make an argument the play here is maybe take the Twins over team total here. Maybe that's where you want to go. Doesn't guarantee you a win for the Twins, but I think they will score runs against Marcus Stroman today. This feels like a 5-4 game somewhere around there. Lopez, I think, will keep the Yankees under control. You know what I mean by that is he's not going to pitch a shutout, but I don't think he's going to give up seven runs either. He'll keep the Twins in the game here. I think we're going to get some run score. I feel like a 5-4 game's coming, 4-3, more of a bullpen game coming late here. But, Joe, you mentioned that Twins lineup. Who are you afraid of? I mean, really, who are you afraid of in that lineup? Carlos Correa? Ugh. You know, Jeffers the catcher, maybe the guy you fear most there. Buxton's out on the IL, and he's not the player he used to be anyway. There's nobody there. It's amazing they won all those games in a row with that lineup.
It really is. But, you know, give them credit. They took advantage of a weak schedule, and they won the games they were supposed to win. They're doing it with pitching in a bullpen. Shocker there. Talk about what is going on with the Rangers. Talk about not hitting. My goodness. How many are they going to win tonight against an 80-year-old Carlos Carrasco? I mean, please tell me the Rangers are the play here, Kurtz.
Normally, yeah, but how can you play them? You just said they're not hitting. They're not hitting at all. They're in a team-wide stuff. And once again, we see this during a baseball season where nobody on a team can hit, right? Nobody can do anything here. And I know they've got a couple of injuries. The rookies, Langford's on the IL, Carter, who may be back this weekend. But those weren't a big part of the team, right? I mean, where's Garcia? Where's Seager? Where's Semien? You know, Jonah Heim, the catcher. They should be hitting fine here. They shouldn't be having the problem they're having. They couldn't hit in Colorado. Thank you for, you know, waving bye-bye the money out of my wallet here as I was on the range for a couple of those games. I'm going to need them to see them hit again. Carrasco is a softball pitcher. Ordinarily, I would be all over this, thinking the range is going to crush this guy. But I can't bet them right now. Not at a minus 184 favorite. Maybe we're going to go over the 8.5. They're not going to get shut down, you know, because let's face it, John Gray is nothing special either here. So I can see it taking the over here, but that's juiced minus 124 right now. Yeah, so I don't know where you want to go with this game. I'm staying away from it other than I'll have a small play on the over, but I don't see how I can bet the Rangers until I see some more productivity out of them.
Kind of shocking is really what it is here. Stop me if you've heard this before, Kurtz. The Astros were caught cheating.
You're Blanco kidding.
Was caught cheating. Yeah, I was floored. I could not believe that a member of the Houston Astros would be accused and suspended 10 games now. I guess we know why the ball was unhittable in that spot there where he threw the no-hitter. Do you like him over the A's here tonight?
Well, it's hard not to like him. Yes, I like him. Problem is you're paying too high a price, minus 250. So you're either taking him on the run line or you're parlaying it.
250 right up your chalky alley there, Kurtz. We appreciate it, brother. More game time decisions coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in game time decisions here on this Wednesday, middle of May, which means we are right smack in the middle of playoff time in the NBA, and we've got a couple of games coming up here tonight in the association. Closeout game opportunity for the Celtics and the all-important game 5 with Dallas and OKC. And here to help us navigate through all of that is the one, the only Mr. Mark Zinno in the house here. And Zin, celebrated your Knicks came through last night in a big way, so they've got a big opportunity coming up. But do we trust the Celtics enough to win this, not just win it, but cover it by the 15, 16 points they're laying here tonight against the Cavs?
Yeah, I mean, look, sources tell me the Cavs are listed as questionable, all of them. I don't know if they're actually going to play this game, but they're not going to win the game. Okay, look, the Celtics are going to close this thing out tonight. It's just a question of how. Now, I'm somebody who, as you know, Joe, as you watched it live unfold alongside, had the 8.5 Celtics minus 8.5 the other night and watched it go up in flames. Thank you very much, Caris LeVert, who, oh, by the way, is questionable with a knee injury. All I'm going to say is it's not me. Wasn't me. So beyond that, I don't want to lay 14.5 with the Celtics again. I also don't want to lay 8.5 in the first half here because What I've seen the last two games is, guess what? The Cavs hang around for the first quarter, and they hang around for the first half, and what happens is the Celtics pull away late. And in reality, when you're laying big numbers, you don't really ever want to take the opportunity away from the favorite to use the full time to be able to get over that number. But here's the game script, what I'm thinking. If we're going to assume that the Celtics are going to win this game, right? The only way the Cavs win this game is if the Celtics don't show up defensively and the Cavs are shooting the lights out. So if we agree game two is not going to repeat itself, the Celtics are going to win this game in some size or fashion. If I believe the Celtics have the ability to cover this number, and I do overall, they're 14 points better than Cleveland, I would have to think that the first quarter number and the first half number are too rich for me. Cleveland can hang around, and they will hang around. It's the only energy and motivation they have is try to fight for 24 minutes. When they come at a halftime, that's when Boston steamrolls the Cavaliers. That's when Boston turns around and goes, okay, if we're only up by three or four, now we've got to put some distance in between them, right? Now we've got to believe it. We've got to put some distance between them and put them away in the fourth. Or if they're up by eight or nine, whatever it may be, it's the attitude is come out, step on their throat early, make this thing a 20-point game, and they'll never look back in the fourth quarter. With that in mind, I'm going to play the Cavs third quarter minus 4.5 right now is the way I'm going to go here and take it sort of pre-flop before the game tips off, because I don't know what number I'm going to get based off of the situation in the game. I could have a bad number. I could have a good number. But my feeling here is that if the Celtics want to win the game, if they're trailing at half, or it's tied at half, if they don't dominate the third quarter, guess what? They're going to be in danger of losing the game and extending the series. So this third quarter to me is everything about this game script, which tells me that the Celtics have an opportunity to go out, win the game, cover the game, step on their throats, whatever it may be. So we look to the third quarter here for the Celtics, who in the last two games have pulled away in that third quarter to take advantage and go ahead late.
What are you thinking with the total? I mean, the total is right around what it was last game, and it went over because the Cavs went over. 102 points they scored here. If this is a blowout and the Cavs only get the 90, is this thing going over here at 206 now?
I mean, it only goes over if the Celtics end up scoring 120. I genuinely, right. They got to be at 115, 120. Because if anything, I would play Cleveland's team total under. And the only reason Cleveland got over their team total last game was because of a whole bunch of dumb, you know what, that happened at the end of that game. So, you know, it should have, that they should have stayed way under. And I think that that's the way to play it. If you wanted to look at a team total, I would stay away from the whole total for the game and just look individually at one team and say, do I believe the Celtics can get over 111? Possibly. Or do I believe that they're more likely to hold Cleveland under 95.5, which I think is probably the way I would go.
What are you thinking about the late game here? All important game five tonight, Dallas. And okay, listen, if Dallas could make 60% of their free throws, we're having a different discussion about this game, Zin.
Yeah, but also you have to say if the Oklahoma City Thunder were shooting anything remotely close to what their three-point percentage is for the season, we have a completely different series. I mean, this was the number one three-point shooting team during the regular season at 38.9%. They're shooting less than 30% from three in this series, Joe. Like, that's the determining factor here. So my feeling is at some point, I would tend to think that some of the numbers for Oklahoma City, especially at home, where they hit 47.7% of their shots in the field and 37% of the shots from three, would have to normalize here in this game. I'm sorry, 38 from three. They're 49. Look at the wrong numbers here. 49% from the field and 38% from three. They have to come back to what their normalcy is. And this is the opportunity for them to do it at home in a swing game five. If they shoot less than 33% from three like they have in the last three games, they might not win this thing. They're going to need some help. And that's the only reason these games are staying under, is because at least in one game, you've had either one of these teams just have a really bad shooting effort around in some size, way, shape, or form. With the exception of game two, where we had that 119-110 final, which is the only game in the series that's gone over, I think that, you know, we hope, at least I hope to see that again too, with it being back in OKC, that both of these teams pick up the shooting here. But in short, I laid it with Oklahoma City minus four. I didn't want to try to get too cute here. I've seen too many of these things go under. And as the game gets into the fourth quarter, what we have seen from these two teams is that they tighten up in and of themselves. The pace just slows down and they tighten up. So I wasn't willing to look at the total here, but I think Oklahoma City is the markedly better team. If their shooting returns to normal, especially from three, they should cover this number.
So you, would you, OKC correlates to an over because they're going to they're gonna have to score some points, right? And Dallas, you think, correlates to the under in this kind of spot on the road?
Yeah, I mean, but again, it doesn't there's still a way that, you know, the Thunder win this game 102-96, right? Like that's we've just seen that game materialize. So I don't know if the under necessarily correlates to Dallas per se, but I tell you this much. If it goes over, my guess is it's because Oklahoma City has scored 115, 117, 120 in this game. And they're the, you know, they're doing most of the heavy lifting in that, in the scoring category.
Who wins the series then tonight? Whoever wins this game, or are we still going seven?
I mean, look, I put it this way. If Oklahoma City loses this game, I don't think they're winning the series. I don't think they're going to be able to win two straight. So they have to win tonight. I feel like there's more pressure on a young team like this to win in this spot because them having to overcome a 3-2 deficit winning on the road and then winning a deciding game seven when this group has never been in a game seven probably puts a lot of pressure on them that is undue. So I would look at them. If they win this series tonight, I think you have a decent chance for them to consider the series over. If they lose, though, I don't think they can come back from 3-2 down.
So let me ask you what I just asked George Kurtz. Are the Cubs going to score another run this year? I'm just curious. Charlie Morton on the mound for Atlanta.
I would think so. I would hope so. I mean, you know, baseball tells you that they kind of have to eventually score a run. Look, they got no runs and eight hits in two games in this series. The Cubs lineup is just better than that. It just is. What I'm playing on here in this game, and I took the 1.5 with the Cubs at a very moderate -118. I took the 1.5 here just simply because Charlie Morton is a pitcher who is feast or famine. I've said this repeatedly about him. He's either really great going six innings, giving up one run or two runs, or he gets knocked around for four or five runs early on. He's had four starts in a row where he's given up two runs or less. Probably time for him to have some regression. And the Cubs going scoreless in the last two games feel like it's the right time to back them. It's the best bet you can get in baseball. And when you get this short of a number as juice is concerned, I'm comfortable backing the Cubs here plus the 1.5.
You know what? The other best bet in baseball, I don't know if you saw this here, but oh, yeah. The White Sox won today, and so is Colorado going to number seven. I think they just – they white. So who'd have thunk it? White Sox and Colorado, the best bets in Major League Baseball. Unbelievable. Mark Zeno, cash those tickets. We'll be back next year on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game time decisions here on this Wednesday. Joe Ranieri alongside Mark Zeno here, as we've got plenty of Major League Baseball on tap here tonight. Of course, it'll culminate out west with the Dodgers taking on the Giants. I believe, Zen, this is a bullpen game. Yarbrough is probably going to start it for the Dodgers against Webb. I don't care. It's still the Giants. They can't score runs. And I don't care who's throwing for the Dodgers. But what are you thinking of this game here tonight? How much faith do you have in the Giants to pull out another upset?
Not a ton. I mean, look, I just look at the bats and the lineups here and figure that LA's lineup is and bats are markedly better than the Dodgers. I know Logan Webb is going for San Francisco, but the Dodgers this year, Joe, have been a favorite of -155 or less 14 times. They're 10-4 straight up. So, you know, just on the money line. I mean, for me, that's enough to back Los Angeles. You don't get a lot of opportunities to play the Dodgers at this price. Take advantage of it. Like, you have to live with the fact that they may lose this game, but there's just not a lot of opportunities to play the Dodgers at around a -140 price. So, these are one of the rare spots I suck up the juice and say, let's go LA.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the way to do it here. Sometimes you got to bite the bullet, but the better team will win the game. I don't care who is starting there. How about our Yankees here? It seems to be a lot of faith in Stroman tonight in the market play. I thought this number would be higher for the Twins, but it's not. So how do you approach this one?
Is it faith in Stroman or faith in Lopez that's going for Minnesota? I mean, put it this way. I mean, as much as I still have my reservations about the Yankees overall, I would tend to tell you that given how good their bullpen is and given the fact that Lopez is starting, like, I would just play the Twins' first 5 year money line because you're probably going to get a fairly, you know, decent price. And if you end up in a tie 1-1 or 0-0, it gets there. But I don't want to give the Yankees lineup right now 9 at-bats to go beat me, especially on the road, right? So I would only play them first half, you know, and again, with Minnesota being the favorite, laying the 1.5, you know, isn't advantageous either in this spot. So if I'm going to do anything with Minnesota, I'd take the first 5 money line and hope that Lopez is super sharp and the Twins find a way to get to Stroman, which is not all that difficult, personally, if you ask me. But they find a way to get to Stroman enough here to have a slim lead after 5 innings.
There is no way Texas is not going to win a game, especially tonight, right? I mean, it's the end of a 7-game road trip for the Guardians. Like,
What happened to this Rangers? Like, they literally can't score. Like, last year, the only thing that kept the Rangers around, because their starting pitching was so bad, because Andrew Heaney had an ERA of 6, Dane Dunning had an ERA of 4, and they were still winning because they were scoring 7-8 runs a game. This lineup just can't, they don't have it. And it's not like this is a lineup that's like, oh my God, these guys are so banged up. I mean, Simeon's still there, Siegel's still there, Lau, Garcia, they're all still there, right? They're just not scoring runs. So I don't know what to do with the Rangers right now because I can't count on them to score.
They got to score. I mean, John Gray, I think, has Carrasco. The best ERA in the American League, right? By the way, Class A is not available tonight for the Guardians. And Carrasco is 105. Like, if you can't win this game by margin, Texas, just pack it in, Bochy. Just give, hold on to your turn. Just go. Just go away. At some point, they got to win a game here tonight.
Cleveland is a team, too, that's bats have cooled off since the first month of the year, right? Like, that was why they had that great start, because they were hitting the ball and they were scoring. This is not a lineup you're typically associated with being scared with. But the first month of the season, they were scoring, and now they're not. They've come back down to earth, and you've seen them start to normalize a little bit, you know, and they're a lot more beatable.
Yeah. But very beatable, actually, now. No Bieber, no nothing. What are we doing with the Rays and the Red Sox here tonight? Taj Bradley at Hauk feels like an under game, but it's Fenway.
Yeah, I mean, I played the first 5 under here between Tampa and Boston. I know Taj Bradley's only making second start, so that's a little bit of a wild card. But the Red Sox, from an offensive standpoint, they sit around 18th, 19th, 20th when it comes to batting average, OPS, and WRC plus at home. They're not tearing the cover off the ball at home like they were last year. Tanner Houck, despite his 3-4 record, has been very good with a 2.2 ERA and a sub-1 whip. Tampa Bay has hit the fewest home runs on the road this year. They've scored the second fewest runs in their bottom 5 in batting average, OPS, and WRC plus on the road this year. That's enough for me to look between Tanner Houck and Taj Bradley, who was one of the more reliable starters for the Rays for the better part of last year. You get those two starters on the mound, and I really feel like, hey, that might be a spot here where even though the first 5 is at 4 as opposed to 3.5 or the 7.5 total, I'm not upset about laying or taking the under 4 there and at worst, you know, trying to get a tie.
Feels like a good pitching matchup, period. Those are usually under games anyway. There is a good pitcher pitching here right now. He plays for the Philadelphia Phillies and Ranger Suarez, but the Mets can't hit either. Boy, does this feel like a one-sided under, does it not?
It does. I mean, but it's one of those things where the problem is the price for me was just way out of whack. The Phillies were basically -195. They were basically 2-1 as this game just getting underway now. And, you know, I know they've won all 8 starts that Suarez has been on the mound for. He's 7-0. But still, like, you can't sit here and get me to lay that price with a division rival, you know, in a game like this. It's just – it was way too inflated. And you're at the point right now where Suarez is becoming a guy that is almost unbettable until he starts coming back down to earth a little bit.
I agree. Mets team total under 1.5. That's where you look, because they can't hit water if they fell out of a boat right now. But
oh, they've already scored a run.
They've been crushing it. I was just going to say, I just saw it pop up too. And by the way, it's not like the Phillies are crushing it either lately. No. So this could be much closer than Philly fans want to admit by a long stretch. So Mark Zeno, we got NBA here tonight. Plenty of Major League Baseball to keep us all up and excited here tonight. So cash those tickets, my man. We appreciate it. Game Time Decisions continues here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in as we look to close out this first hour of Game Time Decisions. Much more coming your way as we are getting ready for Game 1 in the NBA playoffs here tonight. A closeout possibility, Celtics and the Cavs. But we got a great one in the late game with Dallas and OKC. And here with a same-game parlay is our good friend Davis Maddock. And Davis, what are you looking at tonight in this one?
All right, we are back with another same game parlay over on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Mavericks at Thunder. We're taking the Thunder after that big direction shift in the series. In the most recent game, we saw Oklahoma City with a huge come from behind victory. They win 100-96, basically because they decided, let's play Isaiah Joe, Andrew Wiggins, and big Jalen Williams alongside our core four. And that really totally turned the game on its head in the second half. I expect Mark Daigneault will continue to do that. We are also going to tack on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to record 25 or more points. That's essentially a lock every time Oklahoma City wins. But our big wrinkle here is going to be Derek Lively to record 10 or more rebounds in this game. I think that will be the answer for the Mavericks. I think the Mavericks are going to go larger playing PJ Washington and Lively together in an attempt to punish Oklahoma City for going smaller. This three-leg same-game parlay gives us plus 1,162 odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook. OKC minus 4, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander 25 or more points, and Derek Lively to record 10 or more rebounds in this game. Good luck tonight, everybody.
All right, good stuff, Davis. We appreciate it. Should be a great one here tonight in the all-important Game 5. We got the new kids on the block there in OKC versus, well, a much more veteran-laden team there in Dallas. Something has got to give. Should be a good one. I still think it's going 7 games one way or the other. But coming up here, top of the hour, we've got plenty to break down when it comes to the Celtics and to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And let's just say that the Celtics win this game. Well, the Celtics will await either the New York Knicks or the Indiana Pacers. And if we're being honest with one another here, we're hoping it's the Pacers, aren't we? Or are we thinking the New York Knicks would be the much better battle against the Boston Celtics? And would Anunoby be healthy enough to come back and play against the Celtics if that were the case here? As you can see, the Celtics are a clear Eastern Conference winner favorite here at minus 600. The Knicks, followed by the Pacers, and then, of course, the Cavs should just say plus LOL. Let's be realistic. That is just not going to happen. But a $6 favorite for the Celtics, who... I hate the whole injury thing here, but the path for the Celtics this year, some things are meant to be. And we have said it from the very beginning. The Celtics could very well be their own worst enemy. They have in the past. It's exactly what it's been about with them, where they have lost games they should not have lost when it mattered the most. But will that be all water under the bridge, and will they be able to handle business tonight? And then no matter who they play, whether it be Indiana or it be the New York Knicks, I will say this. I don't think the books can set a number high enough for a total in a series against the Pacers. I think that would be certainly very interesting to watch unfold with the depth of Indiana and how they would just absolutely want to go up tempo. That should be a lot of fun here. The Knicks, it's all about whether they can get anybody back healthy enough to be able to make it to the next round. Either way, the Celtics are sitting pretty here with a chance to represent the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals. Out West, boy, there's a lot more still to be determined there, and it's going to start here tonight with the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Dallas Mavs. As you can see, things are much closer out West, but I will remind everyone that just 1 week ago, as we sat here telling you, do not discount the champs, the Denver Nuggets. Just because they were down a couple of games quick to Minnesota did not mean they were going to get swept. In fact, they are one game away from awaiting Dallas or OKC for a chance to defend that NBA championship title. So there is much still to be determined here in the association. We'll talk more about it as Game Time Decisions continues here on the Grid.